Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009. A reading from the Book of Numbers. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. Taking some of the spirit that was on Moses, the Lord bestowed it on the 70 elders. And as the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. Now two men, one named Eldad and the other Medad, were not in the gathering, but had been left in the camp. They too had been on the list, but had not gone out to the tent. Yet the Spirit came to rest on them also, and they prophesied in the camp. So when a young man quickly told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, Joshua, son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses answered him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart.
The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart.
The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple.
The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just.
The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart.
Though your servant is careful of them, very diligent in keeping them, yet who can detect failings? Cleanse me from my unknown faults.
The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart.
From wanton sin especially, restrain your servant. Let it not rule over me. Then shall I be blameless and innocent of serious sin.
The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. A reading from the letter of James. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver corroded. And that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us. Jesus replied, Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be greater for him if a great millstone were put around his neck, and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian. I'm here today flying solo. Dawn, unfortunately, could not join me. They were having internet problems and was not able to join on the podcast because of that. Anyway, you're stuck with me. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about as we discuss these readings was this initial part of the gospel reading where there are people who are driving out demons in the name of Jesus, but they weren't part of the group of the apostles. And so they tried to prevent them from doing so. And Jesus' response is, well, why would you do that? They're doing it in my name and not speaking ill of me. How can they be doing something in my name while speaking ill of me? And whoever is not against us is for us. Now, it's interesting because in other gospel passages, we hear Jesus say the exact opposite. We say, whoever is not for me is against me. So I think it does depend on the context, certainly, when we take that statement. It's not a blanket statement. But I think this really has a lot of application to us as Catholic Christians today. And especially we see this when we have a lot of other types of Christians in the world. We have evangelicals, there's Protestants, there's members of Orthodox churches, there's all sorts of Christians and people who do things in the name of Christ. And one of the things that, of course, our church would hold is that we do uphold what's good in these other religions. It's not to minimize the differences between us and say that they don't exist or that they're the same. But at the same time, we do say when they're doing things that are good in the name of Christ, we don't try to interfere with that or say they shouldn't be doing that. And certainly we encourage that kind of thing because it is a relationship to Christ. And we always say that while they don't share in the same fullness of the relationship that we in the Catholic Church have, it doesn't mean that they don't share any relationship or that they have no relationship or that everything they're doing is bad or something like that. A lot of times you'll hear me talk about some of the differences between Catholics and Protestants on this podcast, and certainly there are differences, but there's also a lot of similarities too. So we do all worship the same Christ. A lot of, almost all Christians that I can think of believe that because of that, there's certain acts of service that we need to do. Certainly Christ taught about service, constantly was working with the poor and the sick and those who are minimalized and marginalized in our society. And certainly, if you're doing that with a Protestant group, if you're doing it with a Catholic group, if you're doing it with a group that's not even faith-based, but you're doing it because your faith compels you to do that, these are all good things to be doing. Similarly, preaching the gospel is a good thing. Now, sometimes we might have different understandings and different interpretations of the gospel. That's where those differences need to be met and kind of challenge and dialogue needs to come around some of those issues. But the idea of trying to bring people to the Lord or doing works in the name of the Lord is certainly something that's good. And we kind of see that echoed in the first reading today where we've got Moses talking and there's these 70 elders and the Spirit of God rests upon them and they begin to prophesy. And there's two of the elders who happen to be away from the large group at the time. And Joshua comes and says, aren't you going to rebuke them or stop them from prophesying? And Moses says, no. He said, actually, it's a good thing that they're doing this. It doesn't matter that they're not in the camp with us right at the moment. Shouldn't everybody be doing this kind of thing? And I think that's the message that Jesus is echoing there too, saying, if people are doing good things, don't stop them from doing it just because they're not part of our church or our group, but affirm the good things that are being done. And certainly we do this, and even outside of our religious sphere, we do this. There are times when we affirm good things that are done by people who are Buddhist or people who are Muslim. That doesn't mean that we say that we agree with everything that they do or everything they're about, but we're saying insofar as they're doing these good things, it's good, and we affirm that, and we applaud them for doing that, and certainly we should. And it's not just because we applaud them for doing certain good things doesn't mean that we're giving a blanket statement saying that we therefore uphold everything that they hold or view that everything this person does is good. That's kind of an error that we have in our own society where because we compliment somebody on one thing, we think that it's a blanket statement saying that everything they do is good or that we support their platform and everything. And that's not at all what we say as Catholics. I think you see that a lot, especially in politics, because somebody does one thing good, they must be therefore purely good, or because they do one bad thing, they get labeled as purely bad. When the reality is that people generally are not purely good, nor are they purely bad, but they're somewhere in between in their motives, and we have to be discerning and say, well, they do these things well, and they have these faults. And certainly as individuals, we're that same way. As a church, I'd say at times we do some things better than others. That's not to say that we're lacking anything, but sometimes perhaps we put a stronger emphasis on, you know, corporal works of mercy than maybe we do on scripture, whereas some of our Protestant brothers and sisters will come at us and say, well, why don't you focus on scripture enough? And that's not to say we don't focus on scripture, but we can certainly learn from them and say that maybe we do need to go back and spend more time as a community studying scripture or something like that. There can be all kinds of things. Of course, you can play these games, you know, well, I could be doing this, I should be doing that, you know, until you're blue in the face, so to speak. Certainly in our church, though, the point of this is that there's many good things that we do, and certainly that doesn't mean we couldn't do things better, but we need to look around for those and also look around for where the good is in the rest of society and say, well, I affirm that. That's a good thing that's going on. Let's affirm this. And it doesn't need to be something that's officially sponsored by the Catholic Church for it to be good. Sometimes it can be something that's secular. Sometimes it can be something that's from another Christian tradition. If a Protestant church is running a soup kitchen and you as a Catholic want to go and volunteer, certainly you should do that. And you should say, just because these people aren't part of us, they're still doing good works in the name of Jesus. And we do good works in the name of Jesus. And why wouldn't we want to work with people who are doing good works in the name of Jesus? Then Jesus goes on in the gospel, though, and he gets this very odd commandment. He says, you know, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. That's a very strong command. And I think we need to be cautious how we look at that. Certainly, I don't think Jesus wants us going around mutilating ourselves. I don't think that's the point of what he's saying. But what he is saying is, know what it is that causes your sin in the world. Know what it is that causes you to sin. Be honest with yourself about it, and then stop the sin. Generally speaking, when people bring this phrase to me, one of the things I said is it really, though, your hand or your eye that causes you to sin, or is there something deeper? And most of the times there's deeper. Certainly sometimes our hands or our eyes or, you know, parts of our bodies can be the means through which we sin, but the root cause is usually something deeper in us. It's something in our own psyche, a lot of times something in our own spirit. We're listening to the wrong voices. We're acting out of jealousy. We're acting out of pride. We're acting out of selfishness, any of those types of things. And that's what really is the cause of our sin. And what Jesus says is, cut that out. Cut that off. If it's your anger, find a way to cut what's making you angry out of your life. If it's, you know, lust or something, find a way to control that. If it's pride, if it's selfishness, find a way to cut these things out of your life, because they are going to cause you to end up in the unquenchable fires, as he puts it, of Gehenna, if you don't work on those. What I think Jesus is encouraging us to do then is basically is to say, look and know what it is that's at the root of your sinfulness. And then work on it. Deal with it. Try to change that. Try to prune yourselves. And usually it's going to be a spiritual pruning, not anything physical. Although certainly sometimes there could be things that maybe we need to do that are more physical in nature. So if we find that certain movies or certain television programs lead us into sinful ways of thought, maybe we need to stop watching those types of things. If we find reading certain materials leads us into poor ways of thinking, we need to maybe stop reading those types of materials or those websites or those blogs or whatever it could be. On the flip side, there's usually something, too, that can be done to improve us. So a lot of times you could say, well, gee, maybe what I need to do is cut out some of my TV time and instead replace it with some kind of prayer time, maybe scriptural reading. Or maybe say I need to cut out some of the time that I spend on myself and my own activities and maybe spend a little more time volunteering somewhere, helping out people who are in need, helping out at a soup kitchen or a shelter or tutoring kids or whatever it is that you would like to do that could lead you out of your own selfishness and into the lives of other people so that you can bring Christ to them, but also so that you can begin to cut out and kind of prune back those areas in your own life which are sinful. And this is something I think we all need to do. So I think Christ is asking us here to reflect on our lives and say, what is it that causes me to sin? And how can I prune that away from my life? How can I get rid of those influences and instead do things that are righteous? And I think if we do that, then all of a sudden we've gotten to the deeper meaning of this gospel. And on that note, I think we should end this podcast. I thank you for joining me. Hopefully you'll be back next week along with hopefully Dawn and maybe even Father Mark. So join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.